CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. There's been a glitch in President Trump's plans to mobilize National Guardsmen and send them into a western city.
U.S. District Court Judge Karen Imrigut issued a restraining order temporarily halting President Trump's orders to federalize 200 National Guard troops and send them to Portland to protect the Immigration and Customs Enforcement building. In a 30-page opinion, Imrigut issued a sharp rebuke of the president's authority, finding he violated the 10th Amendment, which reserves police powers to the states. She wrote that Portland's protests are not a rebellion, nor do they pose the danger of one. Adam Yamaguchi, CBS News, Portland.
The president has called Portland, Oregon, war-ravaged. Oregon officials and Portland residents alike dispute that description. And there's been a development in Chicago where Trump has also said he'll deploy National Guardsmen. WBBM reporter Mike Krauser has that.
The governor said the Department of War gave him an ultimatum: call up your troops or we will. He said he would never do that. So the Trump administration intends to federalize 300 members of the Illinois National Guard. The governor said it's absolutely outrageous and un-American for a manufactured performance that has nothing to do with public safety.
The president's special envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, is headed to Egypt now for talks on a Gaza peace plan that Israel and Hamas have agreed to, although Hamas has some conditions it wants to negotiate. From Jerusalem, the BBC's Barbara Plett-Usher reports Israel's prime minister is sending representatives to those talks.
Benjamin Netanyahu confirmed that negotiators would be sent to Egypt and said he hoped the hostages would return home within the coming days. He said he expected the release to take place with the Israeli military still deep in Gaza. Hamas had earlier said it would set free all the captives according to the terms of Mr. Trump's peace plan, but that conditions in the field would determine the timing. Mr. Trump's plan talks about an Israeli troop withdrawal, something Hamas demands, but gives no timeline.
It's looking like the government shutdown will extend deep into next week, if not further. From the White House, CBS's Willie James Inman.
The House is in recess, although House Democrats say they will be in Washington. And the Senate is set to meet on Monday, so we could see another vote on a government funding bill. But while Congress is at a stalemate, thousands of federal workers and Americans are being impacted.
The Republican plan funds the government through November 21st. The Democrats' plan extends funding through October, but includes an extension of health care tax credits, which Republicans stridently object to. The Supreme Court begins a new term on Monday. The justices will rule on cases involving tests of presidential power, voting rights, and the rights of LGBTQ Americans. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The Brewers bury the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3. The Cubs' Michael Busch led off with a solo home run shot. Milwaukee responded with a six-run rally in the bottom of the first and never looked back. Freddie Peralta lasted until midway through the sixth with 95 pitches, giving up two solo home run shots. His nine strikeouts ties a Brewers team record for most strikeouts in a playoff game since Don Sutton and two others. Game two, Monday night, just after 8 o'clock, Quinn Priester set to get the start. College football, the Badgers made a change at quarterback, starting Hunter Simmons. They scored on the opening drive, but that was about it as Wisconsin lost at Michigan today, 24-10. Luke Fickell.
That's tough. I don't care on either side of the ball. I don't know if they had a 13-play drive, you know, and I know we did on the first series, but we have to be able to find ways. The difference in a ball game is some big plays.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear, warm, and breezy tonight with a low in the upper 60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, slight shower chance, and a high in the low 80s and windy. Much cooler next week. Highs in the 60s, although that's average for this time of year. Currently at 75 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am so excited for our next discussion. For the forthcoming half an hour, I'm joined by Amy Barilow. She is the communications director for Clean Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about data centers and what not just Wisconsin, but our country can expect in the coming years with the exploding need for energy to run these puppies, the AI data centers far eclipsing almost any other energy need that you can think of. Where are they going to get it? How dirty is that energy? What's it going to do to our clean water supplies, our communities? We're going to discuss all of that with Amy. But of course, it is the 5 o'clock hour, and it is time for Civic Media's multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. Every day when you text in via the Civic Media app, the word of the hour, and this, the 5 o'clock hour, you'll be entered to win two daily prizes of $200 or gold jewelry, and you'll be entered to win our grand prize, which is two tickets on the club indoor level to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon game, plus a gas card to get you there and back to the game, a $1,500 value. Nobody wants to miss out on this. It is a good time to be listening to Civic Media. So get your app ready. The word of this hour, got to get it texted in via the app before 6 p.m., is pay, P-A-Y. Again, the word is pay, P-A-Y. Good luck to one and all. And with that, it is my pleasure to introduce and bring on to the program Amy Barilow, again, the comms director for Clean Wisconsin. You can find all about Clean Wisconsin at cleanwisconsin.org. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi, thank you.
Great to have you with us. Let's just jump right in here. When we think about data centers, just generally speaking, and then we'll get into some of the specifics about what's going on in Wisconsin, these things are energy suckers by scale, like leaps and bounds. More energy is needed to run AI data centers than almost any other energy demand source. How serious is the concerns about the amount of energy that these data centers popping up all across the country are going to be requiring of our grid? And how stable is our energy grid here in the United States to be able to manage that level of demand?
Well, I think the concern is real. It's the amount of energy that these data centers are going to be using is eye-opening. And I think we need to draw a distinction between regular old data centers, which we've had in Wisconsin for a long time, you know, the kinds of things that store your your old emails, that all the data that we've been using as part of our digital lives, our own personal digital footprints are all kind of wrapped up in these, I would say, normal sized data centers. But, you know, into this picture comes AI, and the energy needs of AI, the computing needs are enormous, unlike anything we've ever seen. So when you talk about energy demand of these AI or hyperscale data centers, it was important to Clean Wisconsin to kind of give people a number that they can recognize. When you're talking about a data center in Port Washington, the Vantage data center that's going to be on full build out, 3.5 gigawatts of energy or power demand, what does that mean? And so we actually did an analysis where we just took, you know, we understand our house, we understand a single family home. So how many homes worth of power demand does one of these very large data centers that is going to be built in Wisconsin going to need? And we came up with the analysis of, if you take that data center and then the very first phase of the Microsoft data center in Mount Pleasant, which is much smaller, but if you combine those, that's 4.3 million Wisconsin homes. The average Wisconsin home power demand, 4.3 million of those. And that's, of course, far more homes than we even have in the entire state. And I think that sort of brings people to the point where it's an unimaginable scale. And again, we have 6 data center projects proposed or approved in Wisconsin. So when you take a step back and think, well, how much energy are we going to need if we have all those, or if we have more of those, what is that footprint really going to be? We're only just now being able to understand what this means. We've never seen demand like this in Wisconsin before. We've never seen a data center, a single project using 3.5 gigawatts of energy. I think 2 years ago, it was unimaginable that any data center would use this much energy, more energy than all of the households in Wisconsin combined. So, you know, it's hard to say how these needs are going to be met. That is resting with the energy utilities that serve them. We Energies in particular serves that data center that's going to be built in Port Washington. According to published newspaper reports, it was We Energies that said to the developer, hey, why don't you make this bigger? And it turned out now 3 times more energy than the developer had first planned to use on that site. So we know that our energy utilities are intimately involved in bringing these data centers here and making sure, apparently, that they use as much energy as they could ever possibly need. And there's a big dollar sign around that, you know, for our energy utilities that get profits when they build energy generation facilities. So there is just levels upon levels of things that we need to understand about what this means for Wisconsin. But what we do know is that this is going to be demand unlike anything we've really ever experienced before.
Yeah, again, Amy, that baseline statistic, right, that the two projects, the data center in Mount Pleasant and the Vantage data center in Port Washington, and there's going to be more of these, but just those two requiring 3.9 gigawatts, that's enough to power 4.3 million homes, but we have only 2.8 million of them. So two data centers exceeding what we as residents of Wisconsin demand to power our homes. All of this, again, will be expanding, meaning the demands from these AI data centers will be expanding. And Amy, a lot of folks, we start talking about this, nobody really knows what a gigawatt is. Right. How do you measure all that? It gets really muddled. And the governance structure around what is the price that is paid for energy, for electricity, is also so complex, because you do have for-profit companies like We Energies, but you have rate setters here in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission. So does anyone know what happens if, and I'm going to say maybe it's not an if, but a but when, the AI data centers are demanding energy levels or electricity power levels that exceed what is the available supply? Do we know what happens if we reach those points?
I don't think so. I think what you, an energy utility would say would be, well, we wouldn't have this customer come here if we didn't know that we could meet that demand. Certainly, they cannot meet the demand with their existing power plants or wind or solar or anything else. So things are going to have to be built, and they're going to have to be built really quickly. And so I think that is what you're going to start seeing is just a huge amount of building, whether it's clean energy, wind and solar, or in many cases, what we've seen already with the Microsoft data center is, burning methane gas. That is how they are, to a large extent, meeting the needs of just that phase one of the Microsoft data center in Mount Pleasant. And I think, we need to understand these numbers are, how they compare to what we're seeing now. Like this, those two facilities that are going to use the amount of energy of 4.3 million homes would represent over a quarter of current peak demand in our state. Mm-hmm. So that's two facilities. And our state power system is built around meeting those peaks, right? So you'll just see a huge expansion of, likely from what we're seeing, gas burning power plants to meet some of these needs. And it's important to understand the stake that our utilities have here because, their profit model, they have shareholders, they have investors, their profit model depends on building stuff. When they build a gas burning power plant, they get a 12.5% profit off of that they recoup through their rates, through the bills that everybody pays. It's also important to understand that, give credit to entities like Microsoft is that they are attempting to make sure that this does not become a burden on people through their bills. There is a tariff case, or maybe two of them, that are before the Public Service Commission right now, a large user tariff that is going to be decided. So that'll decide how much these large users pay for the energy that they use and what's built for the energy that they use. It feels like these tech companies are ready to write big checks, to get these things built really, really quickly. It's the really, really quickly part that should trouble folks, because things are happening so quickly that we don't really understand what the impacts will be. We don't understand what the impacts are going to be on our grid. We don't understand, let's say there is a strain on the grid. Who gets power first? Is it data centers get to run or your house gets to run? We don't understand how all of these things are going to work out. And that's not just in Wisconsin. It's all over the country.
Well, the interesting thing, Amy, and I think about this as an economist, as someone who thinks about, quote unquote, negative externalities, which are the bad societal impacts of a business running that we taxpayers end up having to pay to remediate. And dirty energy production is one of them. So if a huge demander like Microsoft or other owners of AI data centers is going to pay a higher rate because their demand is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. That rate, if we're talking about what is the true price of the thing that they're taking, would price in all of the downside impacts of the energy that they're consuming at this extraordinary and exploding rate. Except that's not what we've got. It's not what we've ever had. Folks, if you're just joining us, we have got Amy Barlow, the communications director of cleanwisconsin.org. We are talking about the explosion of data centers, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but all across the United States. What does it mean, not just for our homeowners and our residential energy consumers, not only what does it mean for our grid? Is our grid stable enough to manage this? Who gets priority over energy during periods of peak demand? But what are the environmental impacts of this explosion in energy consumption? Where are we going to get the energy from to run these data centers? And what does it mean for natural resources here in the state of Wisconsin, the pride and the joy of every resident? We all enjoy recreating outdoors. It is central to our identity as Wisconsinites. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. Of course, it is also Civic Media's multi-state. Go for the
the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Don't forget, folks, it is this hour where you're going to text in that word to get entered to win two daily prizes and a grand prize of a couple of tickets to Green Bay versus Minnesota in late November. Again, text this word in via the app. You'll be entered to win. The word of the hour is pay, P-A-Y. Stick with us. We'll be back with more here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the midst of the hour where we drop a word to enter to win during Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text-to-Win Contest, where when you text in this word I'm about to give you, you are entered to win daily prizes, either $200 or gold jewelry, and you're entered to win our grand prize, which is two club-level indoor seats, very important that they're indoor, to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game and back home, a $1,500 value. The word you want to text in via the app right now, which you can get for free wherever you get your apps from, is PAY, P-A-Y. P-A-Y, PAY is your word to enter to win our Civic Media Multi-State Text to Win contest right now. Good luck, one and all. Right now, I have been joined by Amy Barilow. She is the Communications Director for Clean Wisconsin. You can find out more about Clean Wisconsin at cleanwisconsin.org. We'll be posting Amy's podcast called Defenders, their discussion about the hidden secrets behind AI data centers, as well as some of Clean Wisconsin's other analysis in our show notes today. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. Thanks for sticking around with us, Amy. Let's get into to the environmental impacts and what we may be seeing in coming years. Because if we all understand that the energy demands of AI data centers are, frankly, more than most of us can even get our heads around, and they're going to be exponentially increasing, that leads us to questions about, well, where is all of this energy coming from and how is it being produced, as well as specifically water usage. These AI data centers use water as a cooling mechanism.
Right.
It can be extraordinary amounts of water usage. Tell us a little bit about what Clean Wisconsin understands about this water impact.
Well, you know, what we're seeing is a total lack of transparency about how much water is going to be used in some of these data centers. There is a lot of reassurance happening. We've all heard data centers use a lot of water, and I think that has been true on site for cooling. But there is new technology that allows for water recycling to happen on those sites. And so we're hearing a lot of these tech companies say, look, we're not using too much water. We're recycling it. And that is a good thing, but there is a trade-off, right? So the data centers that use less water for cooling tend to use more energy. And what we're not seeing is any kind of admission or talking about how much water energy generation uses. Power generation in Wisconsin is responsible for 70% of the water withdrawals in our state, far more than agriculture. So when we're talking about exponentially increasing the amount of power generation that we need in Wisconsin to meet the demand of these data centers, well, you're going to see water use of that sector, that power generation sector, skyrocket. We also don't know how much water these data centers are going to use on the hottest, driest days of the year. So it's my understanding these water recycling cooling systems don't work when it's 85 degrees or hotter, and then you're going to see more water withdrawals. Well, that's when everybody needs water, when it's dry and when it's hot. And those are the times that our water systems are the most stressed. And that's when you talk about, you know, who gets the energy. Well, who's going to get the water at those times when you have data centers that are potentially either drawing from municipal systems or from wells that go directly to our aquifer system below our feet? So these are some really important questions. You know, these are resources we all share, our energy resources, our water resources, our land resources. And what we're not seeing is any kind of time for communities to really get this information before these data centers are being approved.
And sadly, Amy, just this month, the Trump administration basically gave an order to scientists working in the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of what? Office of Water, to stop publishing studies about anything, basically any of their research coming from the Office of Water. You can't publish them unless you go through this review process. It is scary. I would hazard, this is complete speculation, that, you know, the corporate CEOs having lunch in the White House that need these data centers and need massive amounts of water. I don't know, coincidence? You fill in the blanks, ladies and gentlemen. But literally stopping the publication of research from the Office of Water just as these AI data center demands for water are exploding. You mentioned a statistic, Amy. I want to repeat it for folks. 70% of our water withdrawals are going to be for these AI data centers, far exceeding what is used even in agriculture, one of Wisconsin's major industries. Amy, what is your message to Wisconsin listeners? What should we be doing about this right now?
I think we need to absolutely demand transparency. We need our energy utilities and the tech companies and the developers to give us real information, exactly how much power is going to be used on this site. How is the cooling going to happen? Where's that water coming from? What is the power going to be? Don't just tell me clean power, right? Because sometimes nuclear gets lumped into that. And we know very well that we don't have any place to put that radioactive waste other than right on site. So tell me exactly how this is going to be powered. Communities and our lawmakers need to start demanding that, because before you know it, we'll blink and we'll have so many of these data centers that we will be unable to understand what the impact is going to be until we're looking back in 20 or 30 years and seeing a totally different Wisconsin.
the public and taxpayers deserve to know before it's too late. Demand transparency, demand accountability. Again, you can find out more about Clean Wisconsin's research in this area at cleanwisconsin.org. Big, big thanks to Amy Barilow of Clean Wisconsin for making us all a little bit smarter about this critically important issue for wellness here in Wisconsin. It is still Civic Media's multi-state Texto win contest. Folks, your word to be entered to win this hour is pay, P-A-Y. Text that in right now via the Civic Media app to get entered to win a couple of our daily prizes as well as our grand prize, two tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota in November. Stay with me. Ask Maggie is coming up next.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
CBS News Brief. A federal judge in Oregon has, for now anyway, barred the Trump administration from deploying the National Guard to Portland. Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson.
This isn't just a temporary restraining order. This could change, but at this point, the court is saying that she finds it's more likely than not that the president exceeded the scope of his statutory authority.
The judge wants to hear arguments in the lawsuit brought by local leaders before she makes a final ruling. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's been notified that the president will deploy guardsmen to Chicago soon. Here's WBBM radio reporter Mike Krauser.
Pritzker said for Donald Trump, this has never been about safety. This is about control.
There is no end in sight for the government shutdown. New York teacher Miles Brown wonders if Washington truly understands the effects of closing the government.
I don't think that the government really represents where American people are at.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Brewers bury the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3. The Cubs' Michael Busch led off with a solo home run shot. Milwaukee responded with a six-run rally in the bottom of the first and never looked back. Freddie Peralta lasted until midway through the sixth with 95 pitches, giving up two solo home run shots. His nine strikeouts ties a Brewers team record for most strikeouts in a playoff game since Don Sutton and two others. Game two, Monday night. Just after 8 o'clock, Quinn Priester set to get the start. College football, the Badgers made a change at quarterback, starting Hunter Simmons. They scored on the opening drive, but that was about it as Wisconsin lost at Michigan today, 24-10. Luke Fickell.
That's tough. I don't care on either side of the ball. I don't know if they had a 13-play drive, you know, and I know we did on the first series, but we have to be able to find ways. The difference in a ball game is some big plays.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a two-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have six episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for six seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear, warm, and breezy tonight with a low in the upper 60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, slight shower chance, and a high in the low 80s and windy. Much cooler next week. Highs in the 60s, although that's average for this time of year. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabe. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now. But,
what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gondenthal?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome. If you're just joining us, welcome back. If you are rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, when we don't have breaking news on Fridays, we try to do a little bit of fun in this segment we call Ask Maggie. You can always send in your questions for me via text, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can send them in to the email address askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I also want to take a moment to remind everyone that we also have a dedicated email address that we've put together so that you can tell us how the big, brutal bill is impacting you and your family. How is the shutdown impacting you and your family? Tell us what's going on for you, small business owner, for your kids' education, for your access to healthcare. We want to hear about it. That dedicated email address is wematter@civicmedia.us. And if you'd prefer to leave us a voicemail message, that number is 855-755-0771. Again, 855-755-0771. With that, always happy to bring back onto the stage with me the metaphoric stage, my senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Happy Friday, Jamie.
Happy Friday. Look at us. We made it. We made it to the end of a week. That feels like the greatest accomplishment ever in the current times, does it not?
These days, every Friday, I consider a finish line.
Exactly. It's the small goals, small things
small
in life,
things.
Right? Yes, that's right.
Yeah, my coping strategies are some days it's to keep everything micro and just tick off the list. Some days it's like, don't pay attention to the micro, just look macro, big picture, this too shall pass type of thing. But it's Friday.
It's Friday. We made it. So congratulations, everybody. If you are on your way home right now, getting ready for a fun-filled weekend, we are all together in all of this. So that's the most important thing. We do have some really great listener questions, and we're going to keep it on the fun side today because, well, it's been a week. It has. So Cal, before we get to those questions, of course, our favorite part, which is our intro to Ask Maggie.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Well, you know, we always preface this after that by saying it's not exactly lightning speed around here, but it's some sort of speed.
There's a good faith attempt for me to answer within the time allotted, but it is sometimes it's just not possible.
It's fine. We're going to start out with one of your favorite subjects ever, because I know you are getting ready for some playoff baseball. So we're going to start with the Brewers. Mike from Park Falls wants to know this.
Hey, Mike.
Even though we hope that this Brewer season continues for quite some time, what does Maggie Dawn do once the Brewers are done playing? We'll give you 60 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Well, since we've never pulled down a World Series and we have been very challenged in the playoffs in my especially adult lifetime, usually there is a mourning period where I and my friends, I have a bunch of baseball fanatic friends, we legit will get together over a few adult beverages and talk about the baseball season and the highlights, our favorite parts, and what we think was inevitably the unfair treatment of our beloved Milwaukee Brewers, because I will never get over the blown strike call in the World Series Finals that I think took a world championship away from the Brewers. So there's a lot of reminiscing, a little bit of adult beverages, and just an overall recap. And then I quickly move on to hopefully a winning Packers season. But it's very hard for me. Obviously, the Packers, they're three games into the season. Mm-hmm. But I have a very difficult time getting fully invested in football until the Brewers season is over. Yes. So I am very much still in a baseball state of mind right now.
Yes. And I know quite a few people like that. Even my own 21-year-old is very much like that. Like he'll sit down and he'll watch the Packers game, right? Or the three that we've had so far. And by the way, thank goodness they have a bye this week. Let's be honest. But at any rate, you know, if they're going to, you know, the Brewers are going to compete against any sort of Packers schedule, well, he's probably going to be watching some baseball at least.
It just means your son has just incredibly good taste, Jamie. Is this Max or Dex?
Yes, this is Max. This is Max. And he loves sports all the way around. So it doesn't really matter. He's going to be at some point in his life, you know, just graduated from college kind of thing. At some point in his life, he's going to be like one of those nine screen people, right? Oh, so he can have a different sporting event on at all times. That's going to be, you know, when mom and dad aren't still supporting him and he has a real job, then
disposable income is key for the multiple screens.
That's right. So I totally envision it at some point, but, we're Packers people in our house, love the Brewers as well. I got to tell you, the only reason I became a Packers fan is actually because of Max. Max is on the spectrum, right? And when he was 3-4 years old, that was his world, talking about football. And if you wanted to talk to the kid, you had to know something about football, which I did not. So I had to learn in a crash course.
Immersion.
Right? And so then those were things that we could talk about, and I could get him to have real conversations until he went through the proper therapies and all that. Now he's awesome, and now he's one of the best people I know. Of course I'm going to say that because I'm biased. But
Max, if he ever wants to talk or text about baseball shop, I am always available.
He's down. He's down. In fact, he's a prop bettor. So I was having dinner with him the other night, and he was placing all of his bets. And he's like, I really hope the Padres beat the Cubs. Sorry, Cubs fans. He's like,
Do not ever apologize to a Cubs fan.
Padres have worse pitching, according to Max. So he'd rather see them in the playoffs than he would the Cubs.
I made that call last week before the wild card series started. And folks, some of you gripe when I talk about baseball.
You don't want to talk about baseball, politics all the time.
But we need this relief. And I'll just say this about this baseball season. This is Maggie's nerdy facts floating around in my head. The Brewers ended the season with a just under 600 record. Okay. Mm-hmm. Literally 599. The last time in Major League Baseball history that not a single team put up a record of 600 or better was in 1930. Okay. So nearly 100 years ago.
That's incredible.
This tells you how competitive this baseball season was, how competitive these teams are. And I think that's extraordinary given the incredible disparities in payroll. Milwaukee is one of the smallest payroll teams, yet we had the best record in baseball. Another testament to that is we had eight teams in the wild card series. The Padres just took out the Cubs, right? But all of the other six teams went to three games in their wild card series. Again, I think speaking to the competitiveness of the league this year, which if you're a sports fan, that's just enjoyable because it's good sports.
It's fun. Yes. It's fun. It's super fun. And let's be realistic. No matter what your favorite sport is in this state, we're covered. And we've got some incredible teams. And the fact that we get to hang our hat on the fact that we have some of the smallest franchises competing against some of these major cities, that's pretty cool stuff. And it speaks volumes to the fandom and the dedication of Wisconsinites throughout this state and then throughout the country, too,
who support from afar. There, I've lived all over this country and a bit abroad, and I will tell you something. Everywhere that I ever went, there was respect for Wisconsin sports fans. Mm-hmm. Almost reverentially, like, we show up for our teams, we show up for our college teams, we love our major league teams. It is known to be such a great place for sports fandom. My 80 plus year old mom, she will sit and watch the Packers games and the Brewers games right alongside my dad and I. Yes, it is.
It's always a good time. Now, I'm going to ask you this question before we run out of time, because I really want to know your answer to this one. This comes to us from Lynn from Oconomowoc.
Hey, Lynn.
I know, besides being a Brewers fan, you're also a huge music fan. You love to go to shows. You love to listen to music. You play instruments as well.
Yes.
I need a pee stopper on my microphone. Got to put that on my to-do list. I heard it in my own headphones there. So my question, or Lynn's question, I should say, is, Maggie, who is the person that you never got to see in concert that you wish you would have gotten a chance to see? So we'll give her 60 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Wow.
It's a deep one.
That is deep. I would have loved to have seen, like, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. I would have loved to have seen Amy Winehouse, like, these people that passed so very young and that had left such an indelible mark. I mean, how about the Beatles? I mean, these are just landmark acts. I've seen the Stones. Pink Floyd. Okay, I would have loved to have seen Pink Floyd. I would have loved to have seen the Grateful Dead before Jerry passed. And I rue the day because I had a really, really good friend in grade school that was a huge Deadhead, and she was going to take me. And I was like, I don't know if I can get enough babysitting money together to go. Big mistake. Huge mistake. So those are a few of them. You can hear what I was raised on, which was a lot of that classic rock from back in the day.
Same thing I was raised on. And I have to say, when I saw this one come in, I thought about it. I think one of the most iconic acts that I never got a chance to see would have been Prince. Right?
Because
Prince was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I'm going to put a little plug in there. We lived in Minneapolis for a while. And so we spent a good amount of time taking the tours at Paisley Park. If you're a music fan and you've never had the opportunity to do that, put it on your bucket list because whether you loved Prince's music or not, you actually get to go into the studio where he recorded not only his music, but music for other artists. And if you love music, there is just this feeling that comes over you when you're standing there and you can imagine him standing behind the glass wall, orchestrating it all, hearing the different sounds, because if you've watched those documentaries on him, you know that's how he operated. And it is just that part of it alone is worth the price of admission, telling you. It's awesome.
You saying those things make me think of, like, Miles Davis, Nina Simone. And I just heard on NPR, there is a new album of never before heard Patsy Cline live recordings.
Oh, interesting.
And I grew up, my mom, big Patsy Cline fan, and all of those signature songs are as well as that whole classic rock genre, very much kind of the soundtrack of my youth. But there's, you know, again, I love jazz as well. I could go on and on and on. I've been fortunate. You know, you mentioned I go to a lot of live music kind of all over the spectrum. And basically there's not like a live show that you could invite me to that would be like, oh, I'm not. I'll go to almost anything because it's always good.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. So that was a great question. Thank you so much, Lynn. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Lynn and Oconomowoc, we need that relief. A little, you know, arts and sports and leisure, like a Trivial Pursuit board, you know? There's a little arts and leisure, a little sports, little history, a little geography. We get it all in here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Get your questions in for next week. Email askmaggie@civicmedia.us or text them in 855-752-4842. When we come back, it's what's good local and overlooked here in Wisconsin with our good friend Terry Barr. So keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Matt Nair on Air.
We are delighted to be joined by the Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. It's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes, and they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable word.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Do we not all need someone to tell us something good? I think we do. And we've got just this segment for you. It is probably my favorite segment of the week to close it out on Friday afternoon. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And of course, it is Civic Media's multi-state Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. You got to get our app. You're going to text in this word before this clock strikes 6 p.m. today. Your last shot at it. When you text in the word that I'm about to give you, you'll be entered to win one of two possible daily prizes, $200 in cold hard cash or gold jewelry. And you'll be entered to win our grand prize, two tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon game. Those are indoor club level tickets because, baby, it's cold outside. Plus a gas card to get you there and back. A total value of over $1,500. And the word to be entered to win right now. Text it right now. Go get that app for free and text this word in pay, P-A-Y, as in it's Friday. It is payday. The word is P-A-Y. Good luck to one and all. And now to introduce my very, very beloved colleague here at Civic Media to tell us something good. It's Terry Barr with What's Good Local and Overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome, Terry.
Oh, hi, Maggie, and hi to all the listeners and the viewers on the stream. Happy Friday.
Thankfully.
Every week is a challenge, isn't it?
Jamie and I were just talking about that. It's like once you get to Friday, oh, thank God we made it through another week.
I know. I feel this. And that is why I so look forward to this Tell Me Something Good segment with you.
Yes.
It's so fun for me to research, too, to find something good to bring to everyone.
And we appreciate it.
Maggie, I found something that is actually called Too Good to Go. So how's that for all kind of bringing it together?
I love it.
Okay. So there is a startup. And those involved in the startup decided, you know what? Too much of our food is wasted, thrown in the garbage, ends up in the landfill. And then that, of course, creates problems in the environment. So this startup company created an app. And I talked to the woman who is the associate director of operations. Her name is Allie Denberg. And she explains to me what this app is all about.
Our app connects food businesses with consumers who buy their surplus food for a fraction of the original retail price. So businesses can recoup revenue from food that would otherwise be thrown out. Consumers can eat great food for a half or less of the retail price, and everyone can contribute to lowering greenhouse gas emissions from food waste.
It sounds so simple, but is it? And why have we needed something like this? Because obviously we haven't been doing well when it comes to food waste.
Absolutely. And we do think it's simple, and we really see it as a win-win-win, where it's a win for customers, for businesses, and for the environment.
So, Maggie, here's the big number that really caught my attention and why I'm so interested in this, both professionally and personally. 38% of all the food produced ends up in a landfill. You know, if you drive around Wisconsin, you see landfills. So this is being now started, this app, as a startup, is being rolled out across Madison and Milwaukee. Businesses are adding themselves to this app on almost a constant basis because we're talking grocery stores and restaurants. They're seeing the advantage of keeping stuff out of the landfill, but turning around and selling it to people like us who want this food, but we get to pay a lot less for it. And again, we're the ones that I feel like hopefully will be winning and keeping the stuff out of the landfill. The app is free. It's Too Good to Go. And you'll find on there, you just simply match with these businesses that get your attention, whether it's a local restaurant, a grocery store. They've added some convenience stores across both Milwaukee and Madison. And the hope is that as this continues, they're going to roll it out to more cities across the state.
That's just amazing. This is one of the things that we're so bad at the United States is food waste. And we could be doing so much more. And I've had restaurant owners and chefs on the show before, and I know a number of them in and around the Milwaukee area have been working to do just that, develop relationships with food banks and food pantries that distribute the food to folks in need.
Right.
And, you know, since Republicans don't want kids getting school lunches for free, since they've gutted the food stamp program, emergency food assistance in the big brutal bill, there is no time like right now for this kind of a program. Absolutely critically important.
Well, and Allie said they're finding moms and dads are actually connecting with grocery stores, and you kind of get a surprise bag. And she said it's like $5 to $12, but you're getting food that otherwise would cost up to $40. And what they're hearing from some of the people that experimented with this, they're making their kids lunches.
I love this. Yeah. Terry Barr, thank you so much. Have a beautiful, wonderful weekend, my friend.
You too, my dear.
Thank you for always bringing us something good, local, and overlooked here in the state of Wisconsin. That's going to do it for me for this Friday. Have a wonderful, safe weekend to each and every one of you. And happy wedding to my dear friend Marcelia and her soon husband-to-be, Renwick. I love you both. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Trump's plan to send National Guardsmen into Portland, Oregon, has hit a snag.
The decision by U.S. District Judge Karen Emmergut Saturday is a temporary block of the deployment of troops. In her decision, she said things like, "This is a nation of constitutional law, not martial law," and "This country has a long-standing tradition of resistance to government overreach, especially in the form of military intrusion into civil affairs." Judge Emmergut was appointed by the president. Her temporary restraining order expires October 18th, and it could affect other cities. Brett Recamp for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
The Pentagon is planning to send 200 members of Oregon's National Guard to Portland for 60 days. ICE agents shot a woman on the streets of Chicago Saturday morning. CBS Chicago reporter Marissa Sulik has details.
Chaos broke out near Kedzie and 40th Street in Brighton Park. It's the same.